This is Jesse Johnson from the program Emmanuel on Worldview Radio. If you've been encouraged or strengthened in your faith by the ministry of Worldview Radio, would you partner with them financially? If so, go to worldviewweekendfoundation.com and make a tax-deductible donation. Doing that enables the ministry to expand their reach online and further bolster their radio and television efforts by adding new programs and technology.
Faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
Welcome. Glad you're with us. Dr. John Whitcomb joins us today for another installment of Ask Dr. John, and we will pick up on our study of John 10, verse by verse, on Thursday. You say, wait a minute, today's Tuesday. Why Thursday? Because tomorrow, Jesse Johnson will join us, and we're going to talk about what it means to be a slave for Christ. What's it mean? You're no longer enslaved to sin. You were bought with a price. You were once a slave to sin, but you've been bought with a price. What's it mean now to be a servant, or is it better translated, slave? We'll talk about that tomorrow with our guest, Jesse Johnson. In the meantime, Dr. Whitcomb joins us, as I said, for another installment of Ask Dr. John. Big news here today to us, exciting day, because after, well, actually literally 3 years or more of work, today we released, literally about, what, 15 minutes ago, we released The Coming Religious Reich ebook documentary. The Coming Religious Reich ebook documentary. Now, the hardcover book will be out in November, but we were able to get the ebook documentary done. It is embedded with over 120 audio clips as well as video clips. So when we tell you somebody said something, in many respects, you get to hear it with your own ears. If it's video, you get to hear it and see it. And then all the footnotes, over 600 of them, every footnote is a hyperlink. Put your cursor over that, whether it's footnote 1 or footnote 600. Put your cursor over it, click on it. It'll take you right away to the end of the book where that footnote is. And many, many, the vast majority of those 600 footnotes are hyperlinked at the end of the book. So if we tell you that this was the article from the Washington Post or the New York Times or the LA Times or whatever it might be, we have hyperlinked that article so you could see it for yourself and maybe even get more information. In some cases, it's a sermon of someone we're quoting from, and you can go there and click on it and read the entire sermon or listen to the entire sermon. So it's very interactive, loaded literally with all of our research. I've spent 3 years on it, but I don't like the singular word I very often. But anyway, it's what I've did for 3 years in compiling this book. And it, as you know, it is the third in the trilogy. First, there was Grave Influence, then the religious Trojan Horse. So Grave Influence, Religious Trojan Horse, and now The Coming Religious Reich, the third in the trilogy. So it is available now as a download at wvwtv.com/bookstore. Worldviewweekend.com/bookstore works too. But if you want a shorter URL, wvwtv.com/bookstore. And just look for the ebook documentary, The Coming Religious Reich. When you do download it or purchase it, then it will be in your store account. So you just log into your store account with us and there it is. And you just right click on it and download it to your computer. It's a PDF. And we would urge you to read it with an Adobe Reader. If you say you have a Mac and you read it with Preview, then the links aren't going to work. So you want to make sure you have Adobe Reader. At the very beginning of the book, it tells you how to use the book and even provides you with a link to get Adobe Reader. Otherwise, you can just put it into a search engine, as I did last night, because I did not have Adobe Reader on my Mac. So I typed in free download Adobe Reader. And went to the Adobe page and downloaded free of charge the Adobe Reader. And within just a few minutes, I was reading the ebook documentary and clicking on the links, just like you're going to do. And so anyway, it's a feeling of satisfaction because it's literally over 3 years worth of work. And we're very, very pleased to announce today the release of the book, ebook documentary, The Coming Religious Reich. By the way, the book has a subtitle if you're interested, and it is Exposing the Sinister Influences Sweeping the World Toward a Satanic Global Empire, because that's what the word Reich means, empire, or kingdom. Again, if you ordered the hardcover, 512 pages, that will be out next month. We'll keep you posted. It's well on its way. And we'll keep you posted as to when that will be out, and we'll fill all the orders. If you ordered anything else with the Religious Reich book, then, of course, all of those books or DVDs were held, and everything will be shipped at one time to keep the cost of shipping down, as well as to keep us from losing anything. So we secure your order and the mailing label and wait. And when those books arrive, we'll pull a brand new copy of The Coming Religious Reich out and drop in whatever else you ordered with that. But, again, if you'd like to get the ebook documentary today, that'd be great. You can do so at wvwtv.com/bookstore. And after you spend some time reading it and trying out the links, the audio, the video, we'd love to hear your thoughts on it. You can come back to our Facebook page and make a comment on the book that you're reading. Every author, after spending years of working on something, is eager to get feedback and see if you're learning anything and appreciate the 3 years worth of work. And that is certainly the case here as well. Love to hear your thoughts. Well, joining us today is Dr. John Whitcomb for another installment of Ask Dr. John. Dr. John, welcome back to the program. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. It's always a joy to open God's Word and listen to Him speak to us, especially in these days in which we live. Praise God for this revelation.
Absolutely. Dr. John, folks want to get on board and ask you a question. They can do so simply by going to our website, info@worldviewweekend.com, and they can put in the subject line, Ask Dr. John. And folks, if you do that, we will gladly send this on to Dr. John Whitcomb for him to answer your question. Here's the first one, Dr. John. Will Christians be on earth during the Great Tribulation?
Why? Times in which we live seem darker and darker. We're wondering if we're in the Great Tribulation. But God makes it very clear that the Great Tribulation is just ahead, and He warns us to be ready, to be prepared. Remember what Jesus said to the disciples in that upper room. In John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. Now here it is. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So you see, friends, the church, the body and bride of Christ, born-again Christians all over the world, are waiting for, looking for that upward call, Jesus coming to meet us, take us back to heaven. That's not the ultimate second coming, which we'll talk about later. This is the preliminary to the Great Tribulation, from which we'll be exempted, not because we're worthy, but because He has elevated us by His grace to this marvelous place of opportunity and privilege. Now, when we turn to Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, we realize all the more precisely that the church will not be in that 70th week of Daniel, those 7 years between the rapture and the second coming. You say, where does it say that? Listen to Revelation 3:10. He said to one of the churches, remember in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, the churches, because you have kept the word of my perseverance, I also will keep you from the hour of testing, that hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell upon the earth. Now, friends, that's a special promise, you see, to one of the churches. The churches differed from each other, of course, in quality, in their faithfulness, but they belong to Christ. And He's not going to keep them through the tribulation. He's going to keep them from the hour of testing, which is about to come upon the whole world, that time period. And the only way we can be kept from that time period is to be raptured away to heaven. And I say, well, thank you, Lord. And that's exactly how the book of Revelation is designed. You see, in Revelation 3:22, he who has an ear, to let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And over again, that formula appears in chapters 2 and 3 to every church. What the Spirit has to say to the churches. But then from chapter 4 through 19, the main section of the book of Revelation, the church is conspicuous for its absence. You say that's an argument from silence. No, it's an argument from significant silence. Why? Well, because in chapter 13, during that period of time, God says this, Revelation 13:9. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He doesn't say to the churches. No, something has changed. And what is it, friends? Well, friends, this is a period in which God will deal with Israel. You remember that 70th week, according to Daniel chapter 9, 24, is not for the church. It's, Daniel said that it, God said it's for your people and your holy city. That's Israel and Jerusalem. And so when the book of Daniel carefully outlines these events that will take place, and the church is conspicuous, you see, for its absence during that coming period of time.
Thank you, Dr. Whitcomb. Here's the next one. Does the new involvement of Russia in Syria have biblical significance?
Oh, my, things are happening. Has anybody heard of Vladimir Putin of Russia? He's coming down toward Israel, step by step, through the Ukraine, the Crimea, down to Syria now, the bonding you see with Assad. Amazing things are happening as this king of the north. Now, we're not saying that he is the king of the north, but he is preparing the way for him. And Ezekiel chapter 38 tells us what he's going to do, doesn't it? Ezekiel 38:8. After many days, you could be summoned. In the latter years, you'll come into the land that is restored from the sword. You're coming down to Israel, sir, whose inhabitants have been gathered from many nations. They are living securely, all of them. Really? Yes, and you will see, I'll go against that land to unwalled villages, verse 11. I'll go against those who are at rest and live securely, all of them without walls and bars. To do what? To capture spoil, to seize plunder. Yes, against the people who are gathered from the nations who live at the center of the world. Yes. Verse 15, you'll come from your place out of the remote parts of the north, many peoples with you. And I say, Lord, this is amazing because something like this is beginning to happen, isn't it? Yes, and friends, you know, Daniel chapter 11 is even more specific about this. I've often wondered why people don't see clearly what's going to happen. This king of the north is coming down, it says. At the end time, the king of the south will collide with him, that is, the Antichrist. And the king of the north will storm against him with chariots and horsemen and many ships, enter into countries. He's coming through many countries to get down, you see, into the Holy Land. And he will enter the beautiful land. And he will stretch out his hand against other countries. And the land of Egypt will not escape. He'll come down into Egypt. But wait, what's going to happen? When he gets there, verse 44, rumors from the east and the north, from Palestine, will disturb him, and he'll go forth with great wrath to destroy and annihilate many. Pitch his tent between the royal pavilion and the beautiful holy mountain, and he'll come to his end, and none will help him. Now, friends, that is the Antichrist coming back from the dead. You say, really? Yes, over and over again in Revelation chapter 13, we are told that the Antichrist, after 3.5 years of ruling Israel, will be killed.
We're going to have you hold it right there, Dr. Whitcomb. We'll pick it up on the other side of the break so we don't miss anything of Dr. John Whitcomb of WhitcombMinistries.org. That's his website, WhitcombMinistries.org. You hear these programs again at WorldviewRadio.com, WorldviewRadio.com. We'll be right back. We have some specials for you at this time of year. How about 5 books for just $39? Normally $81 for all 5 books, but now this special, $39, gets you 5 books. 4 of them are hardcover. You get Twisted Scripture, Twisted Theology, and then you get all these books, which are hardcover. Religious Trojan Horse, which is 385 pages. Grave Influence, Christian Worldview for Students, Volume 1, Christian Worldview for Students, Volume 2. $81 worth of books for just $39. It's a special package price we have at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore. Here's another special for you. You get Grave Influence, Religious Trojan Horse, and Twisted Scripture, Twisted Theology for just $29. Again, this is a very special price. All three books for just $29. Grave Influence, Religious Trojan Horse, Twisted Scripture, Twisted Theology. You can find both of these specials at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore. This year, give the gift of a biblical worldview. Welcome back, Worldview Weekend Radio. Hey, I forgot to mention something a while ago about the e-book, as well as the regular book when it comes out. Something that the book Religious Trojan Horse did not have, that this book has, is a topical index. And it also has a people index. Topical index and people index. Complimentary of a listening friend in California, Jill, who spent hours putting this together. There's no way I could have spent time doing this with everything else we have going on. But she volunteered, and in, I think one day she spent 15 hours on it. And it is wonderful. A topical index and then a people index. So if you want to talk, you want to see what I have to say about abortion, then you can go to page 100, page 128, 174, 192 to 193, 200, 212, 250, 273, 277, 279, 294, 335, 344. Those are all the pages where I talk about abortion and the coming religious Reich. But there's all kinds of other topics. I mean, just more than you can even imagine. Fabian socialism, Earth Summit in Rio, hedonism, Hegelian dialectic process. I'm just flipping through some of these here. Prosperity gospel, positive confession, the Pledge of Allegiance, Lausanne movement. That's just the topic index. Then you get to the people index and you want to know, well, where does he talk about George William Frederick Hegel? There it is. Where is he quoting Vance Havner? There it is. I love Vance Havner, by the way. Where does he talk about Charles Darwin or Friedrich Nietzsche? So you'll be able to see many of the people that I talk about. Some I'm talking about in a very complimentary way and quoting their resources, their research, I should say. Others I'm explaining to you why their theology is going to, I believe, help lay the foundation for the coming religious world empire. So you find a people index. It's the people index, all of this, people and topical index is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, about 7 or 8 pages. Well, that's actually 8 and a half by 11. You divide it by what the real pages is many pages. So, because I'm looking at it on 8 and a half by 11. But anyway, a topical index and a people index. Very helpful. Forgot to mention that a while ago. Again, compliments of our listener friend in California, Jill. All right, Dr. Whitcomb, we want to get back to this question. Does the new involvement of Russia in Syria have biblical significance? And you are talking about the Antichrist. He receives a wound and gives the appearance of dying and being resurrected. Pick it up right there, please.
That's amazing. Listen carefully to Revelation chapter 13. Three times it says he'll be killed. He'll be killed. You see in verse number 3, I saw one of his heads as if it had been slain, and his fatal wound was healed. And the whole world was amazed and followed him. Now, jump down here to verse 12. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast, whose fatal wound was healed. Now, finally, verse 14. And he deceives those who dwell upon the earth because of the signs given to him to perform in the presence of the beast, telling all those who dwell on the earth to make an image of the beast who had what? The wound of the sword and has come to life. Now, from chapter 11 in Revelation, we remember that he comes back from the dead in the middle of the 70th week of Daniel and does what? He kills the two witnesses. That's Revelation 11:7. The beast that comes up out of the abyss and makes war with them and overcomes them and kills them. Now, you say, no, wait a minute, who kills this beast? And you see, that's one of the problems of studying the book of Revelation, isn't it? This amazing capstone of biblical revelation assumes, takes for granted, that we've mastered the previous 65 books, including Ezekiel and Daniel. Yes, and that's the answer. You see, friends, we have here the King of the North coming down and killing the Antichrist, who then comes back from the dead, the King of the North, Gog from Magog, from Russia, is horrified, goes back to kill him again, but he's wiped out from by fire from heaven, end of Ezekiel 38, and the Antichrist now rules the world. He even brings fire from heaven down to prove that he is now God. The Antichrist, under the power of Satan, who's now been cast out of heaven, you remember in Revelation 12, comes down to the earth knowing his time is short. And the last 3.5 years of that 70th week of Daniel is the worst time in the history of the world. Jesus said so. A tribulation such as never was, no, nor ever shall be. Matthew 24. God help us, dear friends, to be prepared for something big happening as you see Russia coming down and the nations around Israel determined to wipe them off the map. And God is preparing us for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the establishment of the kingdom.
I've got to do a program, Dr. Whitcomb, on Putin, because last week I, being the nerd that I am, I sat and watched C-SPAN. I sat and watched C-SPAN, and this guy was writing a book. He'd written a book, and he was giving he was in a bookstore giving one of his little speeches in front of a crowd on what his book was about, and it was about Putin. And I sat there saying to myself, fascinating. How did I not know this about this man? And how he came to power, who was behind him, who put him in power, where they found him, and then how he turned once he became a big, powerful leader and said to his men that made him powerful, your time is up, I'm now in charge. And one of them had to flee to Europe and recently gave an interview. So I actually went and started researching the topic and found more. I've got to get the man's book. And I was fascinated on how Putin came to power, who put him in power, and how these people who put him in power are extremely wealthy and how they made their wealth. Boris Yeltsin and how Boris Yeltsin helped them make their wealth with the fall of communism in the former Soviet Union, supposedly, and some capitalism, which was really more of a mixture of capitalism with socialism for communitarianism. But how Putin came to power in itself is a fascinating topic. And then this former Russian KGB officer who began to try to expose Putin, who ended up being, many believe, killed by Putin, what many believe, because he had some plutonium put in his tea. And many people know what I'm talking about. I've seen the pictures of this man in the hospital. Very fascinating, and we'll try to do a program here very, very soon on Putin and his background, how he came to power, because I think it really shows us the worldview, the character or lack thereof of Putin. And I'm stunned, Dr. Whitcomb, at how many people here in America, some of the religious right here in America, are actually on their radio programs praising Putin, talking about how great Putin is, how Putin's a defender of Christianity, and how we wish we had Putin for a president over Obama. And I'm thinking to myself, how lacking in discernment do you have to be to not understand what it is Putin is doing and what he's doing with the Orthodox Church, which many experts say has been the front for the KGB, now that what is known as the FSB, for many years. But religious leaders praising Putin for being a defender of Christianity and saying they wish he were the president of the United States. You know what it shows me, Dr. Whitcomb, is that because they think he's right on a few issues, a few moralizing issues, now they're praising him. It shows me that, you know, indeed, the Antichrist will more than likely be saying some very moral things and maybe be opposed to many of the things that we as Christians are opposed to. But that will be used. Hitler did the same thing in many ways. He publicly said things that many so-called Christians would agree with. Of course, behind the scenes, we know that his surrounders and maybe even himself were heavily involved in sexual immorality, even homosexuality. But I just think, wow, already we're seeing religious leaders in America praising Putin. They don't seem to really get it, which shows me that the Antichrist, if he just simply beats the drum on a few of their favorite pet projects, the religious leaders will be praising the Antichrist. Do you want to comment?
Yes. Things are happening, friends, that are obvious if we look at them through the lens of Holy Scripture, not from our own reasoning, our own opinions, our own philosophies, that come, of course, from unregenerate hearts and minds and souls. But when we read God's Word and open the Holy Scriptures to see these things, we see them in a new light, the light of God, which alone can help us to see what's really, really happening in this world.
Dr. Whitcomb, some believe that this wound that the Antichrist supposedly receives is not a head wound. They believe that it's the Europe, this beast that we see in the Scriptures, Revelation 17 and in Daniel, Daniel 7, that this beast has received a head wound, and then it comes back to life, and they say that's Europe. That's Europe. Europe died. It was kind of done away with as far as being a superpower, and now it's coming roaring back, which is true. We are seeing a revived Roman Empire, I think, that's very Eurocentric. But they say that it's not an actual head wound of a man, i.e. the son of perdition, that we call Antichrist. You heard that other argument, right?
Yes, and so as we look carefully at the book of Daniel, and in the light of the New Testament, you know, Jesus said, read Daniel if you want to know what's going to happen. And I say, Lord, help me to understand the true significance of what's happening in the world today in the light of your scriptures. And that is the answer. And that's not an easy answer, friends. I'm not saying it's easy. And I say, Lord, when I open this Bible, I want to say who's who and what's what in the light of what you have said. And that gives me an infallible guideline, illumination, perspectives, so that I won't go off the deep end like so many cults, isms all around us are making ridiculous, horrifying statements that are totally against God's Word. It's a time of spiritual discipline, isn't it, friends? When all else fails, open the book and say, show me, God, what's happening.
When all else fails, read the instruction manual, right?
Right.
All right, number four, how can we promote unity while also working to correct doctrinal errors? I'm considered divisive, says this person, for pointing out doctrinal error, and wonder if I should just keep silent.
Well, friends, this is not an easy one. You see, the Bible tells us over and over again that we are to deal with error, not in an argumentative way, an arrogant way. No. Humbly, graciously, prayerfully, kindly tell people this is not God's will for you and me. This is not God's plan for the church today. We don't just keep silent. Now, I have written a paper on this called God's Truth Circle. And to me, this is an amazing thing. God is not a respecter of persons in terms of how men are to be saved, but he is a respecter of persons in terms of how his precious truth is to be preserved. And so you see, the Lord Jesus gives us the model here. Now, what happened? He deals with people on the basis of what circle they're in. Outer circles, such as Gentiles, Samaritans, Gentiles who loved Israel. We're getting closer now. Watch what's happening until we come down to the to the believing crowds in Judaism, the 500, the 70, the 12. Now, look, wait a minute. The 11 among the 12 are getting closer, and among the 11 were three, the inner three, and the inner one was John. You see, here's the point. Jesus says, come closer. Come closer. And I will give you new, precious insight into my will, my plan, my purpose for the world. So you see, you don't just reject the outer circles. No, you deal with them graciously, wisely, carefully. You just say, let's come closer. Come closer. God doesn't keep us away from him. He says, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'll tell you things. I'll share with you things, insights that you never would have had. So we don't reject people in the outer circles. We just say, come closer.
Come closer. All right, we'll be back with more of Ask Dr. John. Contend 2016 is fast approaching. Contend 2014 was our first year ever to hold this free student worldview weekend, and we had a wonderful turnout. But 2015 was even a bigger turnout with students from 26 states, and we anticipate another great turnout in 2016. We can't even begin to tell you all the testimonies we've received from young people who traveled from California, Colorado, New Hampshire, and down by the Texas-Mexico border by car. Yes, these students traveled by car. Well, preparations are already underway. And again, it's going to be completely free. Now, it cost us about $20,000 to put on the free Contend 2016 conference because we need to rent the facility. We have a sound man. We have to rent tables and tablecloths so that students have something to sit at and take notes. We have to fly in the speakers, pay for their hotel, their lodging, their car rental, their food, and then give them a modest honorarium. And then there's the promotion, getting the word out, a lot of direct mail to families and churches. So it costs us about $20,000 to put on the free Contend 2016 conference. But the way we do it is through people like you who believe that this is a biblical resource that's needed. So if that's the case, you believe this is needed, you appreciate the fact that we do the work and organize it, then will you partner with us? You can do that with a tax-deductible contribution right now at wvwfoundation.com. That's wvwfoundation.com. We need to hear from you today because we need to know we have the funds for this project already available to us so that we are being good stewards. So again, we need to go ahead and start raising the funds now so that we are on track and on target for covering the costs of the Contend 2016 conference. So please, don't delay. Would you go to worldviewweekendfoundation.com right now and make a contribution? It is tax deductible. The shorter URL is wvwfoundation.com, wvwfoundation.com. If you prefer to send a check, you can find our address on the website at wvwfoundation.com. Thank you so much for partnering with us. We don't take an offering at this conference. In fact, we even give them free books. We give them free books in 2014. We gave them free books in 2015. And we plan on giving them free books in 2016. We want them to know this is really for one reason, to equip and train them to contend for the faith, to defend and proclaim a biblical worldview. And we tell them right up front that the weekend has been made possible by people from all around the world, from all around America, who don't even know you, but they want you to be equipped with biblical truth, and so they've helped us to underwrite the weekend. We tell them that all weekend long. So again, thank you for making it possible by a tax-deductible contribution at wvwfoundation.com, wvwfoundation.com. Thank you. Welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Weekend Radio, our website, worldviewweekend.com. Brand new TV show up there at wvwtv.com, our first program, verse-by-verse study of John chapter 10. And you can watch it at wvwtv.com. You can get our free app to watch our TV shows, all of the TV shows we carry, as well as listen to all the radio shows we carry. Take the app with you on the go on your smartphone, your iPhone, your iPad, your Android. You can download the free app as a ministry that's made available for free at wvwtv.com. /app, wvwtv.com/app. If you'd like to sign up to receive our free newsletter, we send out a newsletter every week. We do not ever release our email list to anyone. It stays only with us, and so you don't have to worry about being spammed or anything. But if you'd like to receive our free newsletter that we send out each week that includes links to articles and radio shows and television shows, you can sign up at wvwtv.com/newsletter, wvwtv.com/newsletter. It keeps you up to date on many things. I'm sometimes shocked at the people I know that regularly listen to this program that will email me and ask a question. I think we just had an article on the website last week about that. How did they not know that? They regularly listen to the radio show without fail. And some of them are listening to it through the app, because I know who they are. I know how they listen. And yet we have an article about, they just asked me about it. I'm thinking, how do they not know that's been up on the website as a featured article all week long? And what it tells me is some folks, they use the app, but they're not, I guess, finding time to come to the website. And so they're missing out on a lot of stuff. You're missing out. If all you do is get your information from this one-hour program, then you're missing out on a lot of other things that we cover and offer. And because it is a limited program, as far as time goes, we can't cover everything. That's why we have a website with all these free articles. So the point is this. If you're not getting our newsletter, likely you're missing out on a lot of great articles and other radio shows. other radio shows that we're providing links to as well. So I hope you'll sign up for our free newsletter at wvwtv.com/newsletter. And I would also quickly say we are getting ready to put out a new update on our app for iOS, for iPhone. I guess if you have the iPhone 6 or 6 Plus, something's changed and it's doing something. I don't even know what it's doing, but I know we've gotten some people concerned about when is an update coming. And our computer tech started working on that last night. And so we'll push a new version of the app. We're constantly having to change things, folks. Constantly having to keep up with the technology and change things. But we endeavor to do that so that you have a seamless opportunity to listen without distraction. All right. Dr. John Whitcomb is our guest for Ask Dr. John. His website is WhitcombMinistries.org, WhitcombMinistries.org. All right, Dr. Whitcomb, here's one a lot of people ask. They send in a lot of emails on this one, and they want to know where this is. And I don't blame them. I understand. They want a clear picture of where is this. And some say that it's there. Others don't. It's not a salvific issue. We don't divide over it. But you, Dr. D. Young, and many of the people that are broadcasters with us have been people who defend the rapture. And so this person wants to know, where is the rapture in the book of Revelation?
Right. Very, very interesting and very important. You see, the book of Revelation is very carefully outlined. Chapter 1, God reveals himself to John. And I saw him, John says, I fell at his feet as a dead man. And he laid his right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid. This is Revelation 1:17. I am the first and the last, the living, and I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Write therefore, now here's the verse, Revelation 1:19. Write therefore the things which you have seen, that's what he just was revealing himself to John, and the things which are, that's chapters 2 and 3, the seven, the churches, the church age. And then what? The things which shall take place after these things. So when you turn to chapter 4 of Revelation, verse 1, listen to what it says. After these things, I looked and behold a door standing open in heaven. And a voice said, come up here. I'll show you what must take place after these things. So you see, that, friends, is your rapture. John himself experiencing prophetically, you see, what the body of Christ, the whole church, will experience. Caught up before the events that are described, of course, in chapters 6-19, the 70th and last week of Daniel, the Great Tribulation. So here, by very clear implication, is the rapture in the book of Revelation.
And folks, we have some who say, well, this all didn't come about till some guy named Darby, and then this all didn't come about until some little girl started talking about it, and all these different things. We have entire 30-minute television programs breaking this all down with Dr. Tommy Ice inside the Situation Room. So if you're wanting to know about Darby and this misconception that nobody was teaching this till Darby came along, that's not true, actually. Tommy Ice breaks down how, I think it was a couple hundred years at least before Darby this was being taught, and I think it was several hundred years, actually, by early church fathers. And so if you want more information on this topic, Dr. Tommy Ice has broken it down for us on our television program that we produce for him, the Tommy Ice program, and you'll find that in the Situation Room at situationroom.net, situationroom.net. Dr. Whitcomb, let's go to the next one. What does the dead in Christ in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 mean? Does it include believers like John the Baptist who died before the death of Christ? Will these be taken in the rapture?
Very, very interesting. In fact, surprising. Some of the really great, great men of the Old Testament, culminating, of course, in John the Baptist, will not be at the rapture of the what? The church. You see, friends, there's a great distinction in the Bible between Israel and the church. The dead in Christ, you see, refers to Christians, born-again Christians, the members of the body and bride of Christ in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The dead in Christ shall rise first, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air in the clouds to meet the Lord. That's the rapture, friends. You say, well, will John the Baptist be raptured? No. Really? Now listen to Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. Jesus said of John the Baptist, "Truly I say to you, among those born of women there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." You say, wait a minute. He that's least in the kingdom of heaven, who's that? That's every born-again Christian. That doesn't mean we're personally better. That means we're positionally better in a higher level. You say, now, wait a minute. What do you mean a higher level? Now listen to what John the Baptist himself said about it. John chapter 3, verse 28. "You yourselves bear me witness that I said I'm not the Christ, but I've been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom." Yes, that's Jesus, and the bride is the church. Now here's John, listen. "But the friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice, and so this joy of mine has been made full. He must increase, but I must decrease." Isn't that precious, friends? So in Revelation 19, when the bride of Christ is joined with him officially in the marriage of the Lamb, John the Baptist will be there as a guest, a guest of honor, I'm sure. Remember 19:9, "Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These words are true." And I say, well, thank you, Lord, for that clarification that John personally was a magnificent servant of God. But in his position in God's plan of the ages, he is part of Israel, not the church. And the church is raptured first, glorified first. Then you remember the two witnesses who have been murdered will be raptured, glorified in the middle of the 70th week of Daniel. Then at the end of the 70th week, just before the second coming, John the Baptist and all Old Testament saints back to Adam and Eve and all those who die in the tribulation will be resurrected. And I say, well, thank you, Lord, for helping us to see there's a distinction here. The Word of God is consistent. And we say thank you for your help in understanding this order of events.
Dr. John Whitcomb of WhitcombMinistries.org, and you can also hear his program each and every week on our website at WorldviewRadio.com. Each and every week he has a 30-minute broadcast we are pleased to carry at WorldviewRadio.com. You can also hear him on Sunday mornings. I think if my memory serves me correctly, it's at 7:30 a.m. Sunday mornings. I'm being told correct. 7:30 Sunday mornings. So maybe you want to turn that on while you're getting ready for church and listen to Dr. Whitcomb on VCY America Radio Network. If you don't have the VCY America app, you can also get that at vcyamerica.org, vcyamerica.org. I think between our app and their app, you're apt to be okay. All right, let's go to this one, number 7. Why are you a dispensationalist? What are the differences between dispensationalism and covenant theology and reformed theology? Well, that could take a couple days, Dr. Whitcomb.
Well, just in a couple words, friends, Reformed theology or covenant theology, of course, eliminates any real distinction between Israel and the church. God has no future for Israel, according to this opinion. And that, sadly, is the position of many Protestant groups from the Reformation time, and persecution of the Jews, even by Christians in the Middle Ages. It's such a sad story. But you see, in the book of Daniel, chapter 9, and verse 24, the angel came to Daniel and said this, 70 weeks have been decreed for your people and your holy city, Jews, Israelites, not the church. And I say, well, Lord, help me to see that distinction here. All through this book of Daniel, we're talking about what God has planned for Israel, for the Jewish people at the end of this age. And we say, now, Lord, help us to get this straight here. Dispensationalism means that God has different dispensations, different arrangements, you see, for his people. There's Israel, and there's the church. And I say, well, God, help me to see what you have revealed about these things and not what men's opinions may be. We have discussed this carefully, dear friends, in our book called The Rapture and Beyond, which I trust will be of help to some, and also our commentary on the book of Daniel. And so this, as you say, could be a very lengthy discussion, but maybe this will be a starter to see that's the distinction that God has. Now, the church is not infinitely superior to Israel, but we're different. We're saved by grace, yes, not by works. But you see, God has a different plan for Israel through the temple, through the animal sacrifices, and through the priesthood. And we, the church, has no such relationship to the temple, to the animal sacrifices. And so we can see a big difference, in spite of similarities. The grace of God, the blood of Jesus, saves us all.
I don't think that without understanding these dispensations, I don't think the Bible makes sense. I think you end up running into confusion, contradictions, all kinds of problems,
right,
unless you understand that. Would part of understanding a dispensation, different dispensations, be that at one time we had prophets and apostles and signs and wonders, and then we have a new dispensation, and now we have the church, and now we have the Holy Spirit, and then the 12, and then they're off the scene, and it's a new period, and it's a new time, and so would that be part of understanding the different dispensations and what's going on?
Yes, and so we can see very carefully when we study the Bible, not just what some theologians have said, but let's do something drastic, friends. Open the Bible. Look for yourself. God carefully, repeatedly, emphatically tells us Israel is not the church. I mean, read Romans 11. All Israel will be saved. Will be saved. I thought we were saved. Yes, we're Christians, yes. But Israel, not yet. See the difference?
Yes.
And say, Lord, help me. Thank you.
And then, of course, we know then there'll be a different dispensation. And then all of a sudden we got two prophets back on the earth, and they're doing signs and wonders and calling down fire. And again, I just don't know how you can understand the Bible without understanding these different dispensations. And they make sense to me. And by the way, some Reformed theology people are dispensationalists as well, like Dr. MacArthur. I have a very special announcement, particularly for Situation Room members. On Friday evening, November 6th, and Saturday, November 7th, 2015, Worldview Weekend and Worldview Weekend TV will be hosting and live streaming the International Understanding the Times Worldview Weekend right here from Memphis, Tennessee, from our television studios. All the speakers will be on the set of our TV studios to deliver their keynote presentation and to take your questions live via social media and email. Don't worry about the expense of travel, meals, lodging, or time off work or school, because this live streaming event will be available to you in your own home as a Situation Room member. We've booked an incredible lineup of speakers that are recognized internationally in their field of expertise. Speakers will include Mark Musser, author of Nazi Oaks, Dr. Rob Congdon, author of the book The European Union and the Supra Religion. We're also going to have with us Charles Koff, an MIT graduate who served as a staff meteorologist with the Department of Army in charge of atmospheric measurements, modeling, and environmental applications to support weapons testing at Aberdeen Proving Ground. He's an expert on disproving man-made global warming hype, how it's being used to push global governance. Again, don't miss out on this International Understanding the Times Worldview Weekend. It's free for Situation Room members. If you're not a member, you can simply join now at situationroom.net/join. situationroom.net/join. Welcome back. All right, November 6th, Friday night, November 7th, all day Saturday, the live streaming International Understanding the Times Worldview Weekend. And I've asked all the speakers that are speaking, there'll be five of us speaking, I've asked all of them to speak on topics related to the coming religious Reich. All of them are speaking on topics related to the coming religious Reich. We are moving to a world government. We are moving to a one world religion. We are moving to a one world economic system. And we've already talked today with Dr. Whitcomb, and as though it seems as though what Putin is doing is helping to lay the foundation for some of the things. We don't want to be dogmatic, but we want to obviously be aware and understand the times. And so all the speakers will be speaking on the issues of the day that are moving us toward a religious Reich, our kingdom, our empire. And so I hope you'll join us for the keynote speakers of Dr. Tommy Ice, Charles Clough, Mark Musser, Rob Congdon, and myself. If you want more details on taking part in the first ever live International Understanding the Times Conference, which, by the way, will include Q&A. After each speaker, there'll be 15 minutes of Q&A where you guys will get involved with social media, sending in your questions, asking the speaker, hey, you just spoke about this. I want to know more about this topic. I'll be monitoring the social media, and then after they speak, I'll go to the desk with them and answer, ask the questions that you have proposed. I'll ask them to them, and then they will answer them. So it'll be a live, interactive, Understand the Times Worldview Weekend, Friday night, November 6th, Saturday, November 7th. Full details at wvwtv.com/livestream, wvwtv.com/livestream. Dr. Whitcomb's website is whitcombministries.org, and he's our guest every 2 weeks. For Ask Dr. John. We won't take calls today because you've sent in your questions. We have three more we need to get to. Here's the next one. How old will we be when we get our new bodies in heaven? Will children and aborted babies remain infants forever? Dr. Whitcomb?
That's an amazing question, isn't it? How old how old will we be when we get our new bodies in heaven? Well, dear friends, I have a good announcement to make to you. In Philippians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul said, I'm hard pressed from both directions, having desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. I'll be fully mature. I'll understand things I can't see today. So I look forward to that experience of glorification to be with my Lord. Now listen to this one. will children and aborted babies remain infants forever? Now, that's not an easy one either, friends, but you know what David said when his first baby, illegitimate child was born? So sad. He said, I can go to him, but he will not return to me. I will what? I will go to him. Now, of course, this was the child born, remember, of Bathsheba, totally against the will of God. Now, what did he mean when he say, I can go to him? Well, he's not going to go up there and find some infant that can't even think, speak, relate, respond at all. You see the implication there? I can have fellowship with my unborn baby. Wow. That is incredible. Now, you know, Jesus said in Matthew 18, you know, these wonderful statements about babies. Whoever humbles himself as this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and whosoever receives one such child in my name receives me. They're angels, Matthew 18:10. In heaven, continually behold the face of my Father who's in heaven. They have angels that help them, you see. And to go on another step here, in Matthew 19, verse 14. Let the children alone. Do not hinder them from coming to me. Now, are you ready for this? For the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. We'll become like children, because children will be fully functional, able to think, to speak. Now, that is hard to imagine. I agree. But God says, don't underestimate what I can do with a child who is conceived. Now, you know, you don't become a human being when you're born. You become a human being when you're conceived. Don't underestimate what I can do with a human being bearing my image and likeness from the moment of what? Conception. Thank you, God. Help me to understand you have a marvelous plan, and only you can do it.
All right, here's the last one, Dr. Whitcomb. What are the best commentaries on the book of Revelation?
One of my favorites is a two-volume book by Robert Thomas, published by Moody Press, two volumes on the book of Revelation. And another of my favorites is Charles Ryrie, also by Moody Press. Hope, dear friends, these books will be of help to you to understand more and more about this capstone of biblical revelation, the book of Revelation. And I say thank you, God, for those who have studied for years this precious final portion of the Bible and have helped us so much in our understanding of what you meant by what you said.
Well, you answered that one so quickly. We do have time for one more question. And this one, the person writes in and says, my children fully desire to celebrate Halloween. How should I respond to this? Would it be better to celebrate Reformation Day?
Well, of course, we realize, don't we, friends, that that Halloween is not a God-honoring day. It involves, you know, demons coming, spirit demons coming back and so forth. And I say, well, dear child, you can do some of these things, you know, trick or treat or whatever, but understand this is not from God's word. Say, well, what's the alternative? Just about that same time of the year, of course, is Reformation Day. Luther pounding those 95 theses on that door in Wittenberg to begin the Reformation officially. That is something that it does have some biblical significance. And I say, Lord, just to help me to understand. By the way, at Halloween this week, God willing, I'm going to hand out some beautiful gospel tracts. And you say, well, what do you mean? Well, there's some tracts, especially for Halloweeners, coming to your door. And you can order them from Good News Publishers, 1300 Crescent Street, Wheaton, Illinois, 60187. Good News Publishers will help you to be a witness. And so as some of the children in our neighborhood, I'm sorry to say, friends, I hardly ever see them during the year until they come at Halloween to my door and I give them a little piece of candy and a gospel tract. And I say, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to tell about Jesus to those who otherwise might never hear of him.
Dr. John Whitcomb, WhitcombMinistries.org, WhitcombMinistries.org. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for Crosstalk. Take care.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on BCY America.
Worldview Weekend Productions is proud to present Sermons Through Song with tenor Brannon House. This is a collection of sacred classics with beautiful orchestration and biblical lyrics. Order your copy now at worldviewweekend.com/CD. That's worldviewweekend.com/CD. You can even download the songs right now at worldviewweekend.com/CD. Ministered in music in hundreds of churches, including that of Chuck Swindoll and D. James Kennedy. Order your copy now of this beautiful collection of 12 classic songs that are beautifully orchestrated with biblical lyrics at worldviewweekend.com/CD. In Christ alone, He is my strength. Down from His glory, we believe. Oh, what a Savior. What wondrous love is this? Cross medley, the Lamb of God. His eye is on the sparrow. The living Christ, the love of God. And I won't have to cross Jordan alone.
Oh,
your copy now of this CD, either through the mail or download now at worldviewweekend.com/CD. worldviewweekend.com/CD. Sermons Through Song with tenor Brannon House.